Get abstract. Knowledge compressed. In 2009, a team of scientists identified 9 life support systems essential for human survival, including biodiversity, the nitrogen cycle, and climate change. They articulated a safe zone within which humans can flourish. In several of the 9 categories, society has already passed the safe boundary. To make necessary major changes, people need eco-literacy.
People need a positive, aware relationship with the natural world to ensure humanity's individual and collective survival. In Eco-Literate, published by Jossie Bass, authors Daniel Goleman, Lisa Bennett, and Zenobia Barlow explain how to teach and practice the core principles of eco-literacy. They provide a wealth of teaching ideas, exercises, and tools to build knowledge and inspire activism. Get Abstract recommends this book to anyone interested in education, the environment, and humanity's relationship to the planet.
Eco-literacy is made up of several interwoven strands. Teachers can address them in any order and can design learning experiences around them.
The first aspect of eco-literacy is developing empathy for all forms of life. When you feel such attachment, you see humankind as part of a greater web of life. Teachers can support empathy by keeping plants and animals in the classroom, or by visiting animal rescue centers, for example.
Embracing sustainability as a community practice is another strand of eco-literacy. Organisms, including human beings, depend on one another. Communities that value sustainability emphasize the common good and try to make life better for everyone.
Another aspect of eco-literacy is making the invisible visible. Throughout most of history, people could immediately see the environmental effect of their actions. If farmers cut down too many trees, their farms would flood. Yet the modern consumer takes steps with unseen ramifications. Coffee drinkers, for example, cannot see the South American forests cut down to grow the beans for their brew. Educators can help students see their actions' invisible consequences.
Being eco-literate also means anticipating unintended consequences. Much of the damage done to the natural world springs from the unintended consequences of human behavior. Safeguard yourself and the environment by predicting the outcomes of your actions.
Understanding how nature sustains life is another tenet of eco-literacy. People cannot live separately from the natural world they depend on for sustenance. A new understanding of the web of diverse relationships that knits you to the natural world will give breadth to your perspective and guide eco-literate choices.
60% of the coal mined in the U.S. comes from surface mining. Miners remove all soil and rock, and the ecosystems on them, to gain access to coal and minerals below ground. Bulldozers level trees. Explosives blast as much as 800 feet off a mountaintop. After excavation, extensive liquid waste containing toxins such as lead and arsenic washes away. Then the mining firm reshapes the whole area into useful landscapes by replacing soil, replanting trees, and restoring the mountain's general shape. This profitable method radically damages local environments. Since the mid-1980s, surface mining has destroyed 500 mountaintops, thousands of miles of streams, and 1 million acres of forest.
A basic, necessary eco-literacy education would reveal America's pervasive relationship with coal. A South Carolina history teacher who designed a course on it drove his students hundreds of miles to show them the coal line between Kentucky and their home in Spartanburg. They explored beautiful ecosystems, but found that they could not drink the water at their retreat center because it was tainted. They visited coal mining sites and coal processing plants. They spoke with a coal company representative, asking him direct questions about such issues as water quality. This put a human face on coal's economic activity and attached ecological knowledge to unconscious acts like flipping on the lights.
A group of middle school and high school students known as Rethinkers formed in 2006 in the wake of Hurricane Katrina's local damage. Their goal was to make life better where they could by addressing needs, large and small. When the Deepwater Horizon spill severely damaged the ecosystem of the entire Gulf of Mexico region, the Rethinkers held a mock trial to determine who was responsible and concluded that the American people were, because of their demand for cheap energy. The rethinkers set out to reduce energy use, for example, by increasing their school system's use of local food, which would cut down on the energy expended transporting supplies while improving nutrition.
Worldwide, one person in six doesn't have access to clean, safe drinking water. Three trends combine to make water increasingly scarce: human population growth, developing economies, and a changing climate. The UN predicts that by 2025, two-thirds of the world's population will live in water-stressed conditions. Given the importance of water for daily life, farming, and power generation, this is a recipe for disaster and violence.
Geography professor Aaron Wolf challenged this grim forecast. Years of research demonstrated that of all the wars that have been fought over time, almost none were over water. History shows, Wolf concluded, that people fight over oil or gold, but that denying their enemies water seems too horrific to consider. Wolf used this insight in his work as a mediator of water disputes, presenting first a traditional map of a region showing the legal boundaries between states, and then another map showing only the land and water. This shift in perspective often produced a shift in perception that stretched from the conceptual and into the spiritual. Such shifts can produce the jolt or aha moment essential to successful mediation.
In 2007, New Mexico was the worst U.S. state in providing reliable access to adequate food. The state's obesity rate is high, 11.6% of adults in 1996, climbing to 25.6% in 2011. The La Semilla Food Center started a community gardens project to grow healthy food locally. A grant from the National Park Service funds classes on how to grow food and pays local students to work in gardens. La Semilla helps people gain access to more nutritious food and gives them the tools to make better choices about what they eat and what their communities grow.
To integrate eco-literacy into daily and professional practices, don't try to do it alone. Form a learning circle where everyone meets as equals. Each person who attends should describe his or her goals and experiences. Directly address how you want to work together. Develop and articulate shared norms to guide the group's practice. Have structured conversations that focus on specific questions. Collaborate on designing lessons for teachers and hold teaching rounds to discuss how to address specific teaching challenges. Consult outside experts and always value the wisdom within your group. For more summaries on this and other topics, visit getabstract.com.